Thank you, Alini. Well, that was beautiful, wasn't it? I want to just mention as we begin today, next Sunday, we're going to begin a series through the book of Romans in the New Testament, a very significant letter in the New Testament. Romans is a long letter and pretty meaty, and so I'm gonna break it up into four series this year, break it up over four parts, and under the heading of Amazing Grace. It's in Romans that we really get a powerful picture of God's amazing grace. And so we'll begin with Romans 1 through 4, beginning next week, under the theme of Grace Explained. So I mentioned that it'd be great if you had time and you had maybe needed a little direction for your devotional life to spend some time in Romans this year. I encourage you to maybe read it from a really modern English translation for understanding. I want to begin with a quote from a former teacher of mine, Leroy Lawson. It's one of my favorite quotes about the church and membership. And I think we put it up here on the screen and you can follow along there with me. It says, "When you become a member of a church, you're not so much joining an organization as you are becoming part of a body, a member of a family, intertwining your life with others in common purpose and mutual upholding. You have promised yourself to God and to others who have made the same pledge. You are baptized as they were. You enjoy the same communion as they do. You study the same scriptures, have the same hope, serve the same Lord. You're no longer alone. And I would add, you belong." Today we're continuing a two-part series on church membership. And the big question is, what does it mean to be a part of a church family, to belong to a church family? Last week we considered the relationship between baptism and church membership. When you made that commitment and how it relates to that. That sermon is online, so if you missed that, this sermon builds on last week. And I've been really encouraged with just the handful of conversations that I had with people kind of stemming from that sermon. And I hope that continues. Because the sermon builds on last week, I'm going to review just kind of the summary conclusions that I mentioned at the end of last week's sermon as we were summarizing the New Testament teaching on baptism, and then we'll build on this today. So then this is just some review and just some summary. When we submit to baptism, we are following the example of Jesus. Though believers come to faith in Christ through different paths, we all end up in that place, maybe through different paths, different ways. We even see that illustrated, I believe, in the book of Acts. Baptism marks a definite moment in time when we surrender to Jesus as Lord and begin to formally follow him as disciples. It's important to keep in mind, however, that baptism is the beginning of discipleship. It's the beginning of the process. It's not the end. Related, every conversion account in the book of Acts and in the New Testament ends in baptism. Spiritual blessings are associated with baptism in the New Testament. Forgiveness, the presence of the Holy Spirit, resurrection to new life, being clothed in Christ, and so on. Because of the close association of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we believe the proper form of baptism should be immersion. In the New Testament, only believers are baptized. Those who make a personal decision to repent of sin from a former life and to believe in Jesus. Biblically speaking, when you join with Christ in baptism, you immediately join his body, the church. From the perspective of the New Testament, the requirements to become a Christian are the same requirements to become a church member, a member of Jesus' church. Faith in Christ, repentance of sin, and baptism into Christ. When we confess faith in Christ and are baptized, God adds us to the number of his universal church. And last week we looked at Acts 2:41. God adds to the number. And after being added to the number of God's church, then we must identify with a local body of believers. When we place our membership and identify with a local church, such as the Rockville Christian Church, we visibly demonstrate our membership in the universal church, the eternal body of Christ. So let me just kind of, this is where we ended last week, just make a couple very practical comments here. kind of addressing some of the questions that tend to come up from time to time. If you've made a confession of faith in Christ and you've been baptized by immersion, then you're able to become a member of RCC. So you can become a member of RCC in two ways, just to kind of just be very clear. You are baptized here at the church by immersion, and when you do that, you automatically become a member of the church, unless you're from out of town and you're going to put your membership somewhere else. Or secondly, upon a transfer of membership, you were immersed into Christ at another church, and when you did that, you understood that decision, and you were being baptized into the name and the authority of the biblical Jesus. If you've done that, then you're not required to be immersed here again. let me just mention a couple additional comments. This is something that comes up from time to time, something that I'm happy to talk through with you. If you were baptized as an infant, which can be very common, we do ask you to be immersed as an adult believer to complete your commitment to Christ, to join the church formally in membership, and to be faithful to the clearest teaching of Scripture. We encourage public baptisms. A baptism is a very public event. It's a public testimony. It impacts those around you. It's a blessing to those that witness it, but it's not required. I wouldn't want the fear of being in front of people to keep you from making that decision. So occasionally we'll have private baptisms that are kind of like family gatherings. But a public decision is required for membership. So you can come forward on a Sunday morning at the invitation song, the song at the end of the sermon that we typically sing. Or we could do it on a Wednesday night because the church is gathered on Wednesday night as well. We'll ask you to make a profession of faith in Christ. We think this is important to do it publicly because it's not primarily an individual decision, but it's a public decision to join a church. It affects everyone. You're joining a family. And so it's important that we know who has made that commitment. Now that's a review. And for the rest of our time this morning, I want to focus on the blessings and the expectations of belonging. In other words, what are the benefits and the responsibilities that come with being a church member? And as we seek to answer this question, I think we're going to discover that often the benefits and the responsibilities are closely related. So let's talk here at the beginning, just very practically, about some of the blessings that result when you commit to a church as a member. And I'm just going to briefly touch on 8 benefits. And there are many others. And don't worry, this isn't an 8-point sermon. Truthfully, it's more like a 20-point sermon today. But nobody's counting. We're going to move quick. Church membership publicly identifies you as a believer in Jesus Christ. When you join a church family, it is a powerful, visible testimony to the world of your Christian commitment. Too many believers today are nomadic in their commitment. They're not rooted at all, and they wander from church to church. But biblical Christianity takes place in the context of the local church. Related church membership provides you with a spiritual family to support you, to encourage you in your faith development. God's plans for discipling Christians, for forming Christians, takes place within the context of the church. Church membership is contextual discipleship. We follow Jesus together. And so building on that perk, church membership serves as a classroom and as a lab of sorts for learning and discovering how we live the Christian life. Think about it. We cannot cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in isolation. We cannot learn to love one another alone. The practice of one anothering demands that we are part of the body of Christ. We're commanded to love, encourage, serve, forgive, submit, and be devoted to one another. To fulfill these commands, it demands that we're an active part of a church family. Church membership provides us with needed accountability and discipline for many essential areas of Christian living, including attendance, holiness, study, worship, communion, service, and stewardship. Have you ever fallen out of the habit of attending church on a regular basis? I won't have you raise your hand, but maybe you can relate to that. I remember in college, we would we kind of make fun of at Bible college, the kids, the students that wouldn't go to church, we said they went to Bedside Baptist that day, you know. Maybe you've been to Bedside Baptist before. Have you had seasons of laziness in your personal devotional life, in your reading of Scripture, in your prayer life? Probably all of us can relate to that. And the truth is, we need one another for that discipline. And so, you know, that's kind of what the idea of the 242, the Wednesday night program, where we gather and we have some built-in accountability midweek to get into the Word of God and to encourage one another. Or the Core 52 program, which will begin next week. Just a monthly gathering for those that are interested in working through that devotional book just for the accountability. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Church membership also gives us many opportunities to discover and use our talents and gifts for service in the kingdom of God. God has equipped each of us with unique talents and abilities and passions and experiences, spiritual gifts. And these gifts and abilities shouldn't just primarily be used to help us earn a living. Rather, God equips us with those so that we can help bless and build up the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:17, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. We'll come back to that point in a moment. Here's another unexpected benefit. Church membership places you under the oversight of church leaders who are committed to caring for you, nurturing you, protecting you spiritually. The Bible's command to obey your leaders and its challenge to elders to be shepherds of God's flock who are under your care can only be fulfilled within the clear boundaries of membership. We have to have a sense of who is a part of the flock, who needs that spiritual protection. Last year as a leadership, we began a shepherding program, a care program. It was kind of a trial program, kind of a work in progress, and we're going to meet again tomorrow night to kind of get reorganized for the new year. But our goal is to do a good job of caring and providing oversight. And for us to do that well, we need your information. And so if you're newer to the church, you think of the church as your spiritual home, make sure you submit your information so we can include you in that program. There are a couple of other benefits of church membership that are vital. Membership enables you to be considered for key leadership and teaching roles. That is, if you have the giftedness, the temperament for that. When you formally join a congregation, you are affirming its beliefs, its values, its ministry philosophy, and its mission. Therefore, to serve in leadership or to serve in teaching, influential positions, it requires that a person make a strong commitment to the church. And I would just say here as a quick aside, one of the things that kind of grieves me is one of the unintended consequences when people fail to make a commitment, we may never have an idea of what your giftedness is. It may impact your ability to discover those gifts and use those gifts. Over the years, I've seen people who had no idea that God had equipped them in a certain way that begin involvement at the church and service in the church, and all of a sudden they discover that God has given them this gift, but that's lost without a commitment. I'll mention one other unexpected benefit to belonging to a church family. I believe, this is my own thinking, I believe that membership in a church prepares you for eternity. The church is eternal. So guess what? We're stuck with each other. Look around. You're stuck with each other. We're in this together. God's family consists of, yes, the living church, but it also consists of the heavenly church. And God uses his earthly church to prepare us for eternal life and loving relationships within this everlasting kingdom. The Bible promises, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. In that same context, Paul says that love is eternal. These are some of the blessings of belonging to a church family. Now let's transition and think for a few moments about the responsibilities of being a committed church member. And I'm going to lump a few things under three general expectations. And I'm going to say it in the first person because to me it's a kind of affirmation. Here's the first responsibility. As an RCC family member, I will be present. I will be present. And that includes when it's single digits in the winter. No, just saying. I'm not scolding you. You're here today. Very good. Proud of you. Attendance and participation in the church is the most basic commitment of church membership. That sounds obvious, doesn't it? I think it is. It's very straightforward. 1 Corinthians 12 says that the body of we're all the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. And so if we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, then we need to be there. We need to be present. And as I've grown older, when the different parts of my body don't work effectively, I've gained insight into what Paul's talking about. And thankfully, there's Advil to help in that endeavor. When one part of the body is hurting and is not useful, it affects the rest of the body. And it's true in the church as well. Each of us must be present and making contributions for the body of Christ to function properly. The church needs you to be active so that it can thrive and fulfill God's design. And from an opposite perspective, you need the body to be able to grow and mature to become the believer God intends you to be. Hebrews 10:25 commands, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." You probably didn't know that attending church is technically a command in Scripture. To grow spiritually, we need to share our lives with one another. We need to be present. Kind of related to this, I think there's a simple formula for being a growing Christian. And I'm not going to say a lot about this right now, but I'll just kind of throw this out there. To me, it's a simple growth equation. It's 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals growth. So it's like math, but it's the kind of math that I can handle, okay? 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals growth. So to me, it's 1 hour of worship, 1 hour of fellowship, 1 hour of study, 1 hour of service can equal a growing Christian. To me, it's kind of the minimum baseline, but it's a great starting point for many. We need to gather to worship. I thought Jason in his meditation spoke to that well. We need an hour of study. We need to dig into the Word of God. So that means certainly being here. It means Sunday school, or maybe it's 2:42 on Wednesday night. Maybe it's the Wednesday night, the ladies study on Monday night. Maybe it's being a part of the Core 52. We need to be able to go deeper in Scripture. We need an hour of fellowship, sharing life together, and an hour of service. I think maybe one of the primary, perhaps the most significant way we can really grow is when we stretch ourselves in service. God uses that. So we need an hour of worship, an hour of study, an hour of fellowship, an hour of study, a service, and we can experience growth. But to do that requires that we're present and that we're active. So the first commitment is, I will be present. Here's a second family responsibility. As an RCC family member, I will contribute. I will contribute. Within the family of God, members are expected to contribute to the well-being and the proper function of the church. Biblical church members are not consumers. We can't simply think of church membership as what we get from the church, although hopefully there are many blessings. But what we can give and what we can contribute. And I think we discover, and it's one of those things we have to by faith, is that when we begin to contribute, we begin to grow. We begin to be blessed. They go together. So how can we contribute? Let me mention a few ways. I think first, really very basic, it begins by contributing, by supporting the mission and the values of the church. The mission of RCC is to make Jesus known. This means we share our faith with others. This means we live in a way that reflects genuinely our commitment to Christ and honors God. This means that we invite our friends and neighbors to church. And we have just kind of put this on your calendar, your mental calendar, on your phone, March 15th. We've kind of set aside as an invite your friend to church Sunday. We'll be talking more about that. Second and related, we contribute by welcoming and extending hospitality to guests and visitors. You know, if you've been at a church for a long time, it's almost easy to forget that because you get comfortable. But every church member is responsible for contributing, playing a part in helping people feel welcome as they walk through the door. And I don't know about you, but when we're away and have a chance to go to church, and I'm just a visitor that day, I am reminded of that important point, because it can be a little awkward to walk into a room full of people you might not know. And the only way to kind of break down that barrier is us to kind of intentionally work together to make people feel welcome. This is why the Bible says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. If you see a new person on Sunday morning, greet them and say hello. That may mean that we have to leave our familiar, you know, friendship circles for a few minutes. If a person is new and you can kind of, they've got that deer in the headlight look, you know that look, go to them and see if they needed help or need direction, need to find something, and take them there. If it's on a Sunday morning and you're serving, the best thing we can do is to be present, to be early, to be prepared. If you sit in the same place every week, and I know who you are, there is not much variety with this bunch here. Okay, then be a shepherd of that section. That's your ministry. Be aware of who's there. If somebody's new, greet them. If you haven't seen somebody for a while, then reach out to them. It is much easier to keep track of people if we're doing it as a congregation than it is for just a few people. So pay attention to who's around you. If you're an elder or deacon, this is the most easy way to shepherd. Just be aware of who's around you where you sit each week. And then I would also say, if somebody's new, invite them to a next step. Maybe it's a special event at the church. Maybe it's to Wednesday night. Maybe it's the Sunday school class. Maybe it's out for a cup of coffee, something like that. A third way that we contribute to the life of the church is by serving and using our spiritual gifts for ministry. Now, we've already talked about that. And I have to tell you that one of the things that's so encouraging to me about RCC is we have so many gifted people. Many people that are using their gifts, many people that have untapped potential to be using their gifts. And it's exciting for me. You know, we're led by just a wonderful assortment of people leading worship, such talent. I've seen it all morning. Sometimes it's very public, often it's just kind of behind the scenes. We're very blessed. God has given each of us spiritual gifts to contribute to the building up of the beautiful mosaic, which is the church. Here's a final way that we can contribute that I'll mention today. We contribute by giving our financial resources to support the ministry and the mission of RCC. One clear commitment that should set members apart from casual attenders is the pledge to support the church financially in a consistent and sacrificial way. The financial needs of the church should be met by the generous gifts of its members. That's the New Testament model. This should not require guilt or manipulation. Rather, our faithful giving should just be a routine part of our devotion to Christ. Giving is a mature expression of worship and discipleship. I want to just very quickly give you just a quick update on giving from this past year, and I want to thank you and encourage you. Giving was a good year for us here financially. Our 2019 budget was just under $400,000 there at the top. Our giving in 2019 was $404,521, so we gave above the budget, 101%. Of the budget. Our 2019 spending ended up $381,358, so we actually spent below the budget. You know, as a rule, we're going to try to do that. We're going to do ministry well, but we'll be wise with the funds that God gives us. Our 2020 budget, and I apologize, I cut the corner there. I didn't mean to do that. The budget is, we're looking at about $410,000. Roughly $7,885 a week. Just keep in mind, a budget is an informed guess. It's based on the past spending. It's based on what we hope to plan, what we're hoping to do this year. It's just an informed guess. We'll give you additional updates as the year goes on. But thank you for your faithfulness. It's a great encouragement. Let me wrap up with one final responsibility. So as an RCC family member, I'll be present. I'll contribute. Finally, I will bless the church. We bless the church through our prayers. Pray for the church. Pray for its mission and its ministries. Pray for our witness in the community. Pray for me. Pray for our elders, our staff, our deacons, our trustees. Pray for all of us. Pray for one another. We bless the church by supporting its leaders. The elders of a church are ultimately accountable for the welfare of that congregation. That's a big responsibility. We need to pray for them. Deacons and trustees, come along the elders and give assistance in the fulfillment of the ministry. And these are significant responsibilities, and they need support and encouragement. We encourage them by praying for them. We encourage them by saying yes if we're asked to serve, by having a positive spirit and not complaining, and by supporting the decisions for the present well-being of the church, but also for the future growth of the church. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden." Let me mention one final way today that I'll share that we can bless the church. We can bless the family of God by protecting its unity, by protecting its unity. Unity is essential for a church to be healthy and to fulfill its mission. It's essential. So we protect the unity of the church when we pray through our prayers, through our positive spirits, through our encouraging words, through a willingness to forgive and reconcile, and most of all, for our love for one another. I want to close today with a favorite story. It's a story about a family that moved with a little girl to a new city. And from their home, they could walk to the church. One day, the little girl got lost, and a police officer found her crying on the street corner. He asked her many questions. "What's your name?" "Mary." "What's your mother's name?" "Mommy," she replied. "Where do you live?" "We live in a white house." Finally, he suggested that they drive around and maybe they could find the white house from the police car, and then they could get her home. She says, I know home when I'll see it. But they looked at many homes and they could never find the right one. Then the little girl, kind of looking relieved, smiled and said, "Now I remember. I can find the church. I know how to find home. Take me to the church and I can find my way home from there." Then the police officer took her to the church and they walked home together. We're all looking for a place to belong. We're all looking for a home. When we commit to the church, we discover our true family and we find our way home. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you today for being the Father, the God of the church, who has called us together in Christ to be his body here on earth. Thank you that through Christ we can enter into your body, we can be an active part both of the earthly church and the heavenly church. Father, I pray that as we look ahead to this new year, we could just reach we can work toward our fulfillment of what you have in mind for us here, to be the church that you're calling us to be. Father, I pray a blessing on those that have been here for a long time, that you would encourage them in their faith, that you'd continue to work through them. I thank you for their faithfulness and for their commitment, for their example to the rest of us. Father, I pray for those that are new, maybe searching for that family to belong to. I pray, God, that you would lead them here and you would work in their life. And I pray, God, that they would know that they've found their way home. We thank you, Father, for loving us and for giving us a spiritual family as we seek to journey together. And we pray this today in Jesus' name.